No.
So all of that is to say, it's just been, I'm in my assassination era. I don't know that I want to say that.
You realize we are going to be like tagged by the FBI on this right now.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, I'm already tagged. I've already been tagged. Let's just add one more. And not for any bad reasons.
Secret Service.
I wear my tags on my bra and I return them.
Secret Service, if you're listening, I promise you, we have no intention of causing anyone any harm here.
Like we said, we don't want it. This went off the rails.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big city-living, black clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting, home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Talk about, because we already did a really good show yesterday.
All right, y'all. So what are we in? Episode, I was out of it yesterday. Episode,
you were, what? 121. You look a little perkier.
I am, but I do have something to talk about today.
Oh, I'm so glad. Well, you guys, welcome. First of all, welcome. And we just need to fill you in. We've already recorded this episode.
Wait, this is 121 2.0. Okay.
Take two.
So if you are familiar with them, if you're listening to us, I'm sure you're familiar with the format of this whole thing. We get all the way to my giving the recipe, and all of a sudden Holly yells out as I'm talking, Joni! And I jumped. You know, it's that whole jump scare. I thought somebody's coming in behind me, you know.
Which has happened to you. So
it happened. And she said, "You're gonna kill me." She did not hit the record button.
I forgot. I didn't hit
the record. So we did
we talked about my bra situation, which I'm not even going to go into now, because it's just,
let me just tell you people, she's wearing the tags on her bras because she's just trying them out.
Listen,
healthy tip. Wash your bras.
Your bras from Kohl's. If you
they
go to
have
Kohl's.
Holly's booty sweat on them. I don't know.
I'm sorry. Now I'm going to have to explain it because people are like, what in creation? Yes, as you guys know, I'm on a bra journey and I'm struggling. And as you very kindly pointed out to me yesterday, it's gravity, Holly. It's what it is.
It is gravity.
And I said, I know, but all of a sudden, all my bras are terrible. I hate them all. Blah, blah, blah. So I did decide to go out and buy some bras the other day. And I bought like six or seven. And you know, y'all, long story short, but that ain't cheap. And I'm trying them, you know, different styles, different kinds, because I'm like, I've got to find something. So I went to the Kohl's and I picked them out. And but I'm also like, it's kind of the same thing with makeup. I'm like, you know what, beauty industry and bra industry, I've had it. I've had it with us spending money on stuff. And then if we don't like it or it doesn't work, we're like, oh, I guess I just eat that, you know, $50 bra. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that anymore. Same with makeup. Like you buy something and places that are, a lot of places are good, like Sephora and stuff. I mean, and even Target and Walmart, they'll let you return makeup. You all need to know this. Because, you know, you buy a $10 lipstick and like, you can't try it. You can't see it. You're trying foundation. It's $50. You know, anyway, I digress. So I'm trying the bras. I'm wearing one every day. I did take the tags off this one today because I think it's a keeper.
Okay. She's sitting here showing it to me, by the way, just so you know. We should go live.
Yeah. anyway, so I've been wearing them with the tags, you know, trying to keep the tag. And let me tell you what, that ain't easy because they put all those little pokey, you know, they've got all these little tags on them. But I'm like, I just was like, I've got to try them out for a minute. Because, you know, you put a bra on, you're like, oh, it's fine. Okay, that's good. And then 30 minutes later, 3 hours later.
Yeah, when nothing ain't in the right place no more.
You've adjusted it 100 times. And I'm not doing that anymore, guys. I'm leading the resistance. Join me. And so I wore them at home for a day. most of the day. And if I don't like them, which two or three of them I didn't like. And I'm like, I'm taking them back.
And so, she's telling me, she said, they're going to smell like sandalwood.
Yeah, she goes, ew. And I go, they're going to be all sandalwood smelling. They're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. I didn't get them dirt. Like, I tried my best. But once again, what else are you supposed to do? Like, you can't try on a bra and wear it for the day. No. Like, if you try on a sweater, you can kind of know, okay, this sweater, I like this sweater. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Not your bras. So look out, world.
Here is, if you're listening to me and thinking, if you've accidentally turned into like a 900, tuned into a 900 number or something, I am sorry. I've just had the flu and it's, I'm on the tail end of it.
Yep. You have your so sexy, she has her sexy voice.
And sultry here.
I'm going to have to talk like that too.
Yes.
I just sound like a weird man.
Anyway. So look, flu, the sickness is going around Hardin County. Like so bad, it's crazy.
And you teach, so you can't. You can't. You
well,
can't
normally anymore. I don't get sick. So
yeah, no, you're right. You, this, Ron brought Ron, that super bug
it was
home.
Ron. Ron brought it home.
Ronald Johnson. You
know, so I'm not immune to him. I don't guess. Anyway, so we are. I mean, we're kicking into gear at school. I've got fire department coming tomorrow to do
our
fire.
Oh, we love it when the firemen come.
My favorite day, but. They've given the other culinary teacher, she used to just teach culinary one, and then I taught two, three, and four. Mm-hmm. Well, the program's getting so big now, they gave her a culinary two class in, during fourth period.
Okay.
So I asked my firemen if they would stay, if they would mind staying during fourth period for her culinary two class, which meant that they're going to be there during lunch.
Oh, okay.
So
we all know where this is going.
I know. Well,
they're about to get a four-course meal.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, they do so much for us anyway. You know, I'm like, okay, I'm going to feed them. And then on Thursday, we have the, it's National School Board Week this week. And so we feed our school board. We're feeding our school board on Tuesday. I mean, on Thursday. So we've been prepping. I went to the grocery Monday and again today. And, but we did a lot of prep work today. Like I went ahead and made the twice baked potatoes and
a
cake and, you know, just things that we could do ahead of time and all that. But I've already bought all my produce. Well, listen, I have to go to the meat market today to pick up the meat.
Oh,
during my planning, which is at 1:30 at one, I don't know, 1:15 or so, I texted Wes Wilkerson. Wes the Pest,
who AKA is my Wes the Pest. Yeah.
Principal. And I said, hey, firemen are coming tomorrow, and told him the whole situation. I'd like to grill for them. And could you come in and grill like during C block for us? Because I'm going to be tied up with class still.
Right.
And they would eat like D block. And if so, would you like a steak?
Oh.
He says nothing to me. Nothing. Okay. He does not respond.
Usually, bribing them with meat is it gets a quick response. Okay.
By 2:15, after I have been to the grocery and I have bought all of the produce and the meat and everything, they have called off school for the rest of the week because of sickness.
Are you kidding? It's that bad?
I'm not kidding. Oh, it's that bad. Yeah, it is that bad.
Oh, man.
So here is where I am.
This is what happened to you like last year with the fillet.
Yes.
Wasn't there some crazy...
Weather is usually what it is. But I'm like, okay, one, I'm feeding the school board. Y'all know that this is scheduled for Thursday. Really, by Monday afternoon, after looking at the numbers, this is in your head of, you know, they could have called... I grew up with the superintendent. He could have called me and said, hey, Joey, look, hold off. I know you're going to cook for us. Hold off for a little bit. We're going to see what the numbers
are. They're all like, she's got the stuff and we'll come to your house, Joey.
You know what? They're not
coming
to my house.
We'll just come to your house and have lunch. Don't worry about it.
They're not. And so I go to church with half the school board. Somebody could have called me and said, hey, numbers are not looking good. Just hold up.
Right. Hold off a day.
So and we may or may not be there. I don't know why it has to be such a secret kind of thing. I mean, they closely guard it. And I'm telling you, at 1:15 today, Wes Wilkerson knew we were not going to have school for the rest of the week. Oh. He knew that, and he did not tell me. They could tell me this before I go out and buy $500 worth of unrecoupable food.
No doubt. What are you going to do? Well, just freeze it?
I guess I froze it. as much as I could freeze, but all my produce, I couldn't. I called different teachers down to, you know, I was like, hey, anybody need a head of lettuce? Anybody need any broccoli?
And you know what? Let's be honest. That comes out of the school's budget. That comes out of your class budget, which comes out of the school budget, which I'm like, you just
Takes away from the kids. It takes away from the kids.
It does. And then you wonder, they come asking for another thing for more money for school. Yeah. Well,
maybe there was $1,000. People who were dealing in food some heads up. But yeah, they do it to me all the time. And so
that's a bummer.
I'm glad we're not in school because frankly, I don't feel good anyway.
I was gonna say you did your 2 days this week. That's it. you were
I did two days last week. I've done 2 days this week.
You need a break. I think January being a season of resting and recouping, I really put that on you.
If I felt good, I could just come to St. Louis. I'll at least stay here for a week.
Gosh.
I could.
Dadgummit.
But I don't think you want this.
You could. No, I don't. I want you to just keep that. It's so funny how out of touch I am with stuff like what's going around town sickness-wise, like, because I don't have kids in school anymore. So I have no idea. You know, you always hear or in the nursery at church. You know what I mean? Like, you always knew every, you know, the rotavirus or hand and foot or whatever. Now I'm like,
I'm not a regular classroom teacher. I just don't work in the same. You know, it's not like I can put off, you know, close your book. We're going home.
No, I know. Well, I'm glad you're going to have some time off. That, you know, in and of itself, you know, is a good, good thing. I'm going to share a little story. I may make my husband mad, but he won't listen to this for a while. So it doesn't really matter. And it shouldn't make him mad anyway. You know, sometimes you laugh about stuff and then sometimes he's usually really good about it, but he got a little salty at me the other day, but then he did apologize. He came back later.
Okay,
I'm sorry. It's just one of these examples of, you know, the memes and the jokes about, you know, husbands or kids not being able to find stuff in the house. Mm-hmm. And it's funny again.
Yes.
Okay. All real humor, things that are funny, are funny because they have a grain of truth to them, okay? It's not funny if you just go, men have big purple heads, you know? It's like, that's not funny because it's mostly not true. So I say that because, you know, you see the memes and all of a sudden it's like they open the refrigerator and they're like, where's the whatever, you know? And it's like literally right there.
Yeah, yeah.
So the other day I made the mistake of asking my husband. It was Sunday morning or Saturday morning on the weekend. So he was around and I was all cozied up in the big recliner chair in the back family room. And I had the blanket on. That's where I go every morning to drink my coffee and do my email. And the puppy is on my legs and I've got my coffee. So I'm kind of stationary. And Tim's home and I'm like, hey, you know, he filled up my coffee. He's being real sweet. And I said, hey, can you bring me my couple of notebooks, because I consider, you know, you start getting ideas and you're like, ooh, let me start writing stuff down and planning a little bit. So I have two notebooks. One is a new one that I got, like a big planner, which I'll have to show you. And I really got it for podcast and booth plan. It's like specifically for those two things. Cause anyway, it's got the calendar, it's got everything that I kind of need. But so I have a big old new planner and I got big old new colored pens and pencils to write in it, which we all love. Tim's like,
some of us more than others. Yeah.
Hey, I love school supply shopping. I can still shop.
No, you do.
But anyway, and then what I call my bullet journal, my regular kind of notebook spiral that I take with me everywhere. I mean, every trip, it's my notebook, it's my calendar. You know, I write my weekly calendar. It's my version of a planner. If you've heard of like bullet journaling, it's my loose version of that. And so I love it and I need it, excuse me, to plan everything. So I asked him, bring that big one and then bring me my Bujo. And normally it's just sitting out on the kitchen table or something. And I said, I think it might be in my big purse because I took it to your mom's when we went. And I said, if it's not there, it's on my desk in the bedroom or on the kitchen or on the breakfast room table. So he goes around, he gets the big notebook. And he comes back in and he looks around the more. I said, well, yeah. I said, did you find the bujo? And he said, no, I can't find it. And I'm like, you looked in my big purse. Because I'm trying to remember where I had it last, what I did with it last. And there's literally only four places in the house that book is going to be. One of which was where I was sitting. It was not there. And then the other three. So he says, I can't find it, you know. I'm looking. I said, well, did you look at, you know, he brought me my purse. He brought me my big old purse. Okay. It's not in there. It's a notebook. You can see it's not in there. But he wanted to bring me that big old purse because he's like, I said, why are you bringing me that big old purse in here if it's not in there? He's like, well, because I wanted to show you it's not in there because you'll be like, did you look? Is it really in there? And I wanted to show you that it's not in there. I'm like, clearly it's not in there, idiot. I can see it's a big notebook. And I said, the only reason I say that is when you're looking for your stuff and it's always in your bag of doom, in your bag that you take, it is always in there and you don't find it. So don't sass me. So then I said, did you look in the breakfast room on the bench? You know, I might have set stuff to the side. So and forth. So he said, it's not there. But he comes back in with a whole nother pile of my papers from there, and he shows that to me. I said, that's not it, fool. Why are you bringing that in here? He said, I wanted to show you that it's not there. And I'm like, at this point, now I'm like,
okay.
And now I'm kind of getting concerned because I'm like, well, where is it? Because I really can't. Yeah. Honestly, I'm like, it's not on my desk. I said, did you look at my desk? Yes. Did you look here? Yes. I'm like, okay, now I'm like, oh, you know, I really don't know where it is. So now I'm all, my brain's all fuzzy and I'm all trying to figure it out. So finally I'm like, I'll get up and I'm going to go do something and I'll go look. So I get up and I go and I look in my desk in my bedroom, and there, sitting plain as can be. I mean, Joni, it's just sitting on my desk to the right side. My desk is not a mess. There is the blue, the spiral. No, he knows that look of that notebook. And I go, come in here. I said, it's right here. He's like, I didn't see it. I looked at that, and I said, that's it right there. And he said, I flipped it. That's blank. There's nothing in it. Look. And he starts flipping it. I'm like, it's upside down, idiot. And he flips it over, and it's all my writing. And then he gets mad. He's like, well, I didn't know. And I'm like, I was like, you brought me my purse. You brought me a whole pile. But you didn't bother to bring the one book that looks exactly like the book, because you looked at it and it was blank. And so you thought, oh, this That's isn't it, because it's blank.
Well, Tim, I hate she had to get herself up off the sofa.
Well, it was a trial. It was a trial. The dog was on my lap. But the thing was, I'm like, it doesn't happen that often. More what happens is he doesn't know where to put stuff away, right? Is that's really like, I'll open a drawer and there's like spoons, some weird.
Caleb can find stuff. But Ron, JB, and John Garrett, you may as well just not even send them on a quest.
I mean, and it's not, it was the irony that I turned around and I looked at my desk and they're bold as just sitting there. There's nothing on top of it. There's nothing. It's literally right there. But the man brought me all kind of other paraphernalia that he thought to show me that he had looked. And I'm like, but you didn't bring me the thing that looked exactly like the thing.
Look, I appreciate Ron unloading the dishwasher for me, but I have like two sets of silverware.
That I know where they go in your drawers.
Okay.
I know where your kitchen stuff is.
Ron, when he puts stuff away, he'll put one pattern, and they're clearly different patterns.
Yes.
One pattern's in one drawer and one is in another. Uh-uh. And he just mixes them all together. Mm-mm. I'm like, this one clearly does not. And no matter how many times I've corrected that.
And maybe they think, I don't think this is Ron's case, maybe, because I think he just gets distracted and doesn't notice. He may honestly not notice the difference very much because he doesn't take, his brain's going a million miles an hour.
Yeah.
But I think they think sometimes if they complain about, if you don't like it how I do it, then I just won't do it. And I'm like, nuh-uh, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you're going to still do it.
You're gonna still do it.
No, but Tim is great. I harp on it, but he did get a little salty at me. I'm like, look, he's like, well, it's right there. And I'm like, it was empty. I'm like, it's not. It's upside down. Just look at the, He did come back and say, oh, sorry. Just
Golly.
Maybe Ed.
Well, because he was like, he was trying to, that was the thing. He got mad because he was trying to convince me that he was right. And I'm like, yeah. I was just like, it's right here.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Yeah. It's not right here. Because anyway, it was really funny. Marriage, funny. You guys, marriage and love in the month of love. It's almost February.
Almost Valentine's Day.
I know. Do they do a bunch of stuff at school? Do they do a bunch of like Valentine-y stuff at the high school?
No.
Do you guys have a dance or something?
You know,
a little Valentine?
They might.
Like a sweetheart dance?
I'm trying to remember. The high school doesn't necessarily do it, but sometimes like we've got sub debs, which is a little debutante club.
Okay.
And sometimes they put on dances, and sometimes the dance team will do a dance. Oh, I think they do like Santa Switch. They may do a little sweetheart dance, but we have homecoming coming up next week.
Oh, basketball homecoming. Okay.
Let me just tell you. So y'all, I was out 3 days last week because I was sick. Mm-hmm. So I was at school Monday and Tuesday, and then I was out Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. This week, I am in school Monday and Tuesday, and the school is closed now for sickness Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Next week, we go Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday with kids. And then Thursday and Friday are admin days. Well, I have to go, and we have parent-teacher conference and all that.
Okay.
But
dang.
But the kids don't. So the kids are living large here.
They're having a little bit of a, they need that rest. I'm telling you.
Well, we do
quit having so much stuff in January. We can't handle it. We're all sick.
Sickness is bad. It is bad right now. Yeah. Real bad. So.
Oh, gosh. Okay. You were going to say something.
What did we, no, I was just going to say, what did we talk about yesterday?
Yesterday that we need to talk about. Well, one thing that we actually talked about for quite a while that was the conspiracy stuff. The
conspiracy theories, yeah.
I'm not going to use that. It's not a conspiracy theory, but I guess it is. Anyway, we were talking about how, because Thatcher called me and he was all excited, and we're both excited that they're, you know, Trump is going to declassify and release the JFK, RFK, and MLK, which is very important because that was screwed up too.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
It was all, and that's right. So we were talking about the different theories of JFK. And I said, I just heard a cassette that has been released. And this is from, I have forgotten the names of the people, and I should have looked it up. But this is the great-grandson, or maybe the grandson. I think the grandson.
Probably the grandson, this time. Yeah.
Of a man who was the Democratic Party leader, whatever that is. The
Of the party?
The
DNC?
Mm-hmm. Of the DNC, the chair of the DNC. And he evidently kind of recorded everything because they alluded to some recordings where I think he kind of kept his butt covered. You know, he wanted
I think
some,
he had to.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, I don't know.
But so he is having a conversation with somebody else. And they are talking about how Lyndon Johnson hired Mack Wallace to assassinate President Kennedy. Now, and here's what I told Ron after I listened to all this thing. Of course, it was very convincing, very...
Yeah, of course.
But I said, the way that AI is now, you know, you could put anything out there. Yeah. I mean,
because they could even take recordings of their actual voice and create...
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's
the thing.
Of course,
it sounded, you know, the tape sounded like your old, you know, cassette recording kind of thing. And all of that. So I don't know, but I'll find it very interesting. And I've never, and I did say to you yesterday that I've never believed that after I've watched, because I've watched a lot of the footage and all that. And when President Kennedy was shot, his head went backwards.
It sure did.
It went backwards. It didn't come forward like he had been shot in the back of the head.
No. And I was so we got on this whole tangent and I was telling you I was going to watch that old Oliver Stone movie, JFK. And Tim had watched it the other day, so we still had it rented or whatever. And so I did. I watched it last night. Now, of course, you know, but it uses a lot of original footage. It shows the, whatever the famous movie, it starts with a Z, the clip of the, you know, we've all seen. Excuse me. Anyway, and it got me, you know, it went through the whole case that Granger, is his name Granger or whatever, the DA from New Orleans who was the only one who's ever prosecuted anybody for any part in the assassination. And it was a guy named Clay Smith that in New Orleans that anyway, it was a whole big, a very big conspiracy of people that he was explaining about. But one of the things that came out in the movie was how even like the autopsy, because I said to Tim, I said, this is an easy way to figure it because the in the report, it shows an arrow coming from the back of his head towards the front. I mean, I saw the official, you know, whatever report pictures later, because of course I had to deep dive it afterwards. And it shows this arrow, like the shot came from the back, which would be the book depository where Oswald Lee Harvey was Oswald. And, you know, who all that. And I said to Tim, I'm like, an autopsy can very easily tell you entry and exit. Like there's not, it's not, in a case like that, really, there's not a lot of room for error in that. And he said, oh, just wait, watch the movie, keep watching. Well, you know, of course, come to find out the autopsy has a bunch of sketchy, you know, they took his body back to DC, which they should have. They made a big deal in the movie about the Texas coroner was like, by state, by law, we have to do the autopsy here and you can't take that body. And they were rushing it out.
Yeah.
But this is also the president of the United States. He's been assassinated. Like I can understand them going, we need to get like really good people on this. We can't just let, you know, whoever coroner do this. So, and we also have to control.
Or people that are in your pocket.
We have to control the information. We have to all that kind of stuff. So, but they did. And they, you know, I was kind of confused about all the autopsy. There was a whole bunch of people in there. There was like admirals in there and generals and all kinds of people. And these, something was weird with the way the autopsy, like the wound was not like followed the path of the wound wasn't even examined. Anyway, all I'm going to say too is I looked at, of course, I looked at the some of the autopsy pictures that were released. There's not very, very many. And, you know, the whole back of his head, the whole, this, the side, the right side of his head and back, you know, is blasted out.
Which is the
And his
exiting.
Face is fine. And I'm like, he did have a shot, which I didn't realize. He had gotten shot in the throat first. There was a shot that hit him in the throat.
Yeah.
And then, because you can see in the clip, in the famous, you know, clip movie, you can see where all of a sudden he kind of grabs his throat and and Jackie starts to kind of look at him and just kind of, or what? And then like a second or two later, he gets the blast that kills him.
Which the exit is what blows the back out.
The exit is what blows. Yeah. And I'm like, everybody know, like if you know anything about firearms, that is what happens. The exit is what blows out.
There's a video of the fence there above, the, you know, the grassy knoll. And you do see a little shadow of a figure there.
And
did
a bunch of
that?
Witnesses were like, I saw something over there. I saw something over there. Anyway,
so I don't, I'll go on record. I do not believe Lee Harvey Oswald shot him from that.
I don't think he did either. Because again, they were talking about what a, and again, I understand I'm not getting all my information from this movie, but it comes from source documents. And then I looked at other stuff, but they're like to make that shot. It just would have taken it was a near impossible shot. And much easier ways to do it. Okay, you're going on record?
But I will. Well, this tape goes on to say, or the interview, I can't remember if it's the tape or the interview, goes on to say that Hoover was in on a lot of this in that he would, you know, tap people's
This
phones.
Is J. Edgar Hoover. He was the head of the FBI for you people that are young and don't know.
That. And so they had all kinds of dirt on people.
Oh, yeah.
And back in the 60s, there's a lot of, you know, dirt that would be devastating, you know, much more devastating than it would today.
Yeah.
Coming out. And so that's why they got away with so much, you know, cover up stuff.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I don't
the
know.
Thing, the thing that makes the most sense, the thing that makes the most sense, and as people have looked at it and, you know, as you put, and the thing is, you have to look at the trifecta. You have to look at, JFK, then MLK, and then RFK. Okay. All get killed. you know, it was a very crazy time. But as you get deeper into, I talked about yesterday with you, the MLK stuff, like that was a total setup. I mean, if you look at the timeline of people and the witnesses that there were, like, he wasn't supposed to be in that room, which was an exterior room on the motel, Lorraine. He wasn't supposed to be there. He was supposed to be in a different room. They moved him.
Yeah.
The local police that happened to be white police unit that was supposed to guard and be on task was pulled off. Yeah. And I believe some black officers were put in place, but I think it was to kind of make it look like, you know, it wasn't anybody white because the black guys were there, but it was like they were pulled off. There was a whole sequence of events that happened that you're like, and then Robert, and the thing is, what do they all have in common?
Vietnam.
That's right. Vietnam. That's right. They all have in common. If you look at history, JFK was big into trying to have peace in that. He didn't want to continue Vietnam. They all knew it wasn't winnable.
Yeah.
Without American support, you know, as a country. And he was trying to end things there. His brother RFK, obviously, he was the attorney general and was working closely with him on that and would have continued that as he was running for president. And Martin Luther King was speaking out, had just started. It wasn't about the civil rights stuff.
No.
They were fine with that. But, I mean, I don't know that. But it was, he had started speaking out against
Vietnam.
So, and as you say, the biggest, the defense industry.
All of the money.
Is a huge, the people that were involved in that and the money involved in that was very, very, very big.
You know, and what's sad, think about all the lives that would have been saved had we not been in Vietnam.
Oh, it's devastating. It's devastating. You know, and you know, we all understand this, you know.
Yeah.
You could say the same about, you know, World War One or World War Two, but those were very different. And some people don't think this, but a very, very, very different situation there than what Vietnam was. Vietnam was very, very difficult. We weren't prepared to win.
Yeah.
We didn't give the effort to win. We had no exit strategy to get out. We had no, it was just a big mess. So you're right. It's one thing to lose people and, you know, blood and people for a cause that, you know, you do end up being victorious and does something like, you know, stops Hitler. Like that's probably a little easier pill to swallow than what are we doing? Why is my 18-year-old over marching around in the jungles of Vietnam? You know, so we appreciate you Vietnam vets though, man. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. And that, they got a raw deal right there.
We all did. And we absolutely appreciate it. It's no shade on you. That's for darn sure. So that'll be interesting. We're going to deep dive as soon as those, you know, I don't know, I was kind of doing a little reading, trying to figure out, you know, and like you said, I think yesterday the plan was for the intelligence people to have a plan in 45 days as to what can happen. But here's the thing. I said to Tim last night, I was like, I mean, when it all happened, when JFK was killed, and then Oswald is killed by Jack Ruby and all this craziness. And the powers that be, which I assume are going to be your CIA, FBI, President Johnson, you know, the people in charge, decide that they are not going to release this information to the public for how many years? 5 years? Nope. 10 years? Nope. 75 years.
So they're all dead.
Years. Yeah. Now, I ask you this. I may not be the smartest attack in the box, but that seems a little over the top. I said to Tim, I'm like, it'd be one thing if they said, you know, sometimes you withhold information from the public for good reasons, because especially when you're in the midst of a big investigation, if you're going after them and you've got people, boots on the ground, people, you know, and you are hot on the trail, yeah, like we're diving in and figuring this out, we maybe, yeah, need to not let all the information out right now. Totally get that. You could say we're not releasing anything. This is under investigation, mm-hmm, you know, but to sit outright from that time, say, nope, we're sealing this and keeping this from the public for 75 years.
Yeah. Cover up.
There's nothing else it could be.
No. And by 75 years, I mean, look, people, when JFK was killed, America was grieved.
Yeah.
I mean, grieved.
It was a big deal. We look back on it now and we're like, oh, okay. But it was a huge moment.
Well, because we don't know JFK. Yeah. I mean, we didn't know him. We didn't know. We didn't see his kids in the White House. We didn't, you know, Jackie O, yeah, was, you know, fabulous, but we weren't even born, you,
right,
know I mean? So as fabulous as I think she is and, you know, love looking back at pictures, my heart really wasn't,
right,
there, you know?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, even, so, I mean, you could say that, like, it was almost like a America lost its innocence, you know, in the, yeah, 60s, if, right, on various street, yeah, but that innocence, yeah, was really shattered because, excuse me, just, you know, to see something like that. And again, it wasn't live on TV or anything, the way you see that news reel, that reel, and you think, oh, it was live. Now Bobby's was live on TV. He was giving a speech. But imagine, I'm just like, imagine any of the president, pick anyone that you like or don't like, Obama, Biden, Trump, which again, yeah, we don't even need to get into how long it's going to be till we hear anything about that.
Yeah, right. Right. And we can talk about that, but
picture any one of them getting shot and
killed. I remember when Reagan was shot, it was, yeah, devastating.
Yeah. And like, if that happened to any one, yeah, of these presidents, I don't care if it had been Biden or Bush or anybody,
yeah,
it would have been a very devastating thing.
Any time. I mean, go back to when the Challenger blew up and these things, you know, that we did witness in our lifetime. Any time there's an American tragedy,
mm-hmm,
no matter what side of the aisle,
if someone comes in and kills the United States president,
and
I will
say this, though, and this I don't like, because you're right. If, you know, anybody, whatever party they're on, I don't want to see our president.
No, I never want to see that.
I don't want to see that.
No.
Well, then when there was the assassination attempt,
yep,
on Trump, and we talked about how, you know, that stuff with that should have never happened.
Never. There's that smells so fishy.
And if
you're not being intellectually honest with yourself, again, yeah, I think most people, but I mean, this is not a political issue. This is an issue of being intellectually honest and looking at a situation and going, this all went very wrong.
The Secret Service had eyes on that guy. As soon as he laid down on the roof, they would have sent somebody up. Laying down on the roof and pulling that rifle. I mean, they've got him in their sights.
Apparently,
as soon as that rifle came out, he would have been gone. I mean, he would have,
That's the protocol.
That's the protocol right there.
That's the protocol, but it didn't happen.
And it did not happen.
And we won't hear boo about it.
You won't. But here's what I heard is somebody that lives in my town said, I hate they missed him.
Well, those people are insane.
I mean, y'all.
They're insane. Yeah. I don't pay attention to anyone like that. You're insane. You're insane.
If you say that about anybody
that, I would say it about like murdering, rapist, child rapist. I do want them to die. I want them. I'll pull the trigger on the 22. I'll do it. I'm fine.
You
know,
but you might need to go talk to somebody.
You might need some therapy.
That's some screwed up stuff right there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't wish that. Absolutely not. It would be devastating.
No.
So all of that is to say, it's just been, I'm in my assassination era. I don't know that I want to say that.
Realize we are going to be like tagged by the FBI on this right now.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, I'm already tagged. I've already been tagged. Let's just add one more. And not for any bad reasons.
Just,
so,
hey, look, Secret Service.
I wear my tags on my bra and I return them.
Secret Service, if you're listening, I promise you, we have no intention of causing anyone any harm here.
Like we said, we don't want it.
We're just fascinated by it.
Oh, this went off the rails. But no, it's very, very, very interesting. And, you know, some people are more interested in it than others. Yeah. And I always tend to be one of those that's interested. But it's also like, you know, what people could say, well, what's the importance now? Like, that was a long time ago. Who cares? But I'm like, listen.
Yeah.
This is your government. And
this
I'm not a big,
government.
But I'm just saying, what if they are not, if there's not a problem, then why 75 years and why did it get released except 3% that's still been unreleased? That's what they're releasing.
Yeah.
What is it that's dangerous to what?
Yeah.
Because it's just hard to swallow. We're not idiots. Like we're not dumb. And,
you know, and I'm sad to say, I think that after COVID, though, I think a lot of people's eyes have been opened a little bit.
Oh, I know that to be true. I know that to be true.
You know, that maybe they don't tell us the whole truth on everything.
For sure.
And I think that's been a big turning point in America.
It has been, absolutely. You know, I think you're absolutely correct on that. A lot of people, I know a lot that, you know, many people I follow online and different things who are like, man, 4 years ago, I was in a different ideological place and I've completely switched because the light just went on.
I can remember when I walked through the Holocaust Museum.
Oh,
you know, years ago. If you haven't been through the Holocaust Museum in DC, y'all go through it. I'm going to tell you, it's a hard go through, but it's worth.
It is 100% worth it.
Through. And I'll be real honest with you. I had to sit down halfway through it and just cry. But when I'm walking through there, one of my thoughts was, and this was so many years ago, was, where was America? This wouldn't have happened if America had shown up. You know, where we should have, this wouldn't have happened. My government, if my America had shown up, y'all, I'm not that same person anymore. I'm now like, what have we done? You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know if we'll get that back to, you know, Captain America again, but.
I don't think we ever had it. I think we never had it. I think there's always been,
but
in our minds,
I know, what I'm saying.
But that's what's hard because I'm like, I don't think that.
I don't know that it's accurate. I don't know that it's an accurate
thing.
To be
happy and in a delusion is not. It may feel good.
I'm not saying that it's an accurate thing, but I'm saying that. And I think for most Americans, we were, you know, Captain America right here, and. And over these past few years, I think I am going, maybe I've been disillusioned by some things.
Sure. And I can say that about a lot of things. I can say that about...
that I don't love my country. I do love my country.
No. The country, it's not... That's these are different things. These are apples and oranges. The country is not the government. Yeah. And I'm not saying like the government's bad,
the country,
down with the government.
The country are the people that showed up in North Carolina with their mule wagons and their helicopters.
It's the same way I feel about the church.
Yeah.
The church is the people of God, is the believers in God. But the church institutional has really screwed up in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And some great places still, great people still, not bashing all of it. But, you know, we can just be honest about it. And so those things are interesting to think about. So we will we will keep you posted in Conspiracy Corner.
It's very intriguing.
I know. All right. Speaking of corners, I will do my design corner again.
Okay.
Although you already know it because I already told it to you yesterday.
But these people don't know it. They don't know it. They need to hear it.
I know. I won't go out into as long of drawn out thing because... But design corner this week, I'm trying to do better with my design corner to keep up with the wonderful Joni recipes that I can never keep up with. But anyway, this week, I just wanted to encourage you guys to don't be afraid to paint stuff. And really, I can kind of expand that now that I've had a day more to think about it. I mean, that's more than just furniture. Like, I paint picture frames. I paint, you know... whatever it is that you might have that you don't like or it's old or outdated, don't be afraid to paint it. And then we talked about like furniture because Joni, of course, has done this wonderful job over the fall. If you've been listening along and heard of all her...
I'm kind of obsessed with it now.
It's, you. Yeah, you're like, what else can I paint?
What else can I? Y'all, sanding, I've been sanding furniture and painting it like that old, and we did say this, and I'll clarify, old antique furniture.
Yep.
Well, if you change the varnish, you take the value from it.
Sure.
So watch for that. But like, I had my parents, you know, 1960s, that yellow, nasty, varnishy looking stuff.
All the stuff that you put up in your kids' rooms for the last 10 years, and you've just been like, that's fine. That desk will work. They don't need anything that looks good.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, now you can get after it with a can of paint like Joni did and have a brand new, beautiful looking furniture. Like you said, a lot of it's really well made. It's just maybe a style. And I was pointing out that a lot of times, like, if something feels outdated to you, like even the style, maybe it's a little more traditional than what you like, or kind of, you know, that early 1950, you know, not like postmodern cool, but like kind of grandparent-y to you. And you're like, oh, I just don't, that's not really my style. And that's fine. Of course, you can donate and get rid of it. You can do whatever you want. But if you want to try to do something with it first, just taking it and painting it a cool color. Now that could be, you know, like I said, you could make it kind of a focal point. You could do it, like I always think of like a beautiful aqua or a beautiful teal or a lovely spring green or a forest green or black on almost anything makes it, takes out that old fuddy-duddiness of it and gives it kind of a new life. And then all of a sudden you're kind of like, oh, now that maybe mixes, or white. If you, you know, I've painted lots of things, you know, white just because I like the use of it, but it can really revitalize something that you might think, oh, that's kind of just an old looking wood side table. Well, paint it.
I will say you all need a holly in your life though, because I can sand it and paint it, but I'm like, okay, what color do I paint this?
You guys, the number of texts and pictures.
Do I paint this? And look at this. And do you like this? But because I don't have an eye for it. Holly can walk in and go, yeah, we need this and this and this. And I'm like, okay.
Okay. Yeah. And you do it. You're very obedient.
Yeah.
So it's a good, that's why we're a good team, right? That's why the designer of the cornbread, like the opposites working together here because you're very obedient and you got after it and got it done and it looks amazing. So that's my encouragement. Just, you know, as you're looking at the new year and you're kind of thinking about rearranging, or maybe you're like us and you're kind of recently empty nesting is a good, when you start to really reevaluate stuff and you're like, what do I want that? Or, and if you don't, get rid of it. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to be like, keep stuff if you don't like it, or, but if you're going to think about getting rid of it anyway, and you kind of like the size or you like the function of it, you know, give it a couple coats of paint and see what you think.
Yeah, y'all, for real, this piece in Caleb's room, I was like, we're hauling that to the dump.
She really was. She's like, I'm like, what are these pieces over here? And she's like, oh, those are, I got to get rid of those. And I was like, oh, okay, well,
they'd run their life course. And Holly was like, no, I don't think so.
I don't think so, Joni. Okay. Surprise, surprise.
Surprise.
There you go. That is my design corner. That's all I have on that. Okay. I think the only other thing, we're not going to rehash everything we talked about because I don't even know. The main thing was the JFK stuff, honestly, and my bras. That was the main content that you all needed to hear.
Very exciting stuff.
I did tell really quickly about my Christmas tree thing this year that I did. Cause I was telling Joni that my Christmas tree, it's still up and it's still green and fresh. Like I can pull we get the short hair, the, Fraser firs or nobles. And you can, like, I can rub my hands in the branches and they're still like supple and pretty green. Some little parts are starting to get a little more stiff, but it's not dropping needles. It's green and fresh. And the thing that I did differently this year is I saw on Instagram a little gal who owns or works on a Christmas tree farm, and she gave a little tip. She's like, okay, here's what you do. You get the fresh cut, which we always have done. We always do a fresh cut, and we always get it in water right away too. So that's why I'm like, I notice a difference from this one thing. We always fresh cut, and we get it in the water as soon as we get home. But she said, take boiling water. So like take your tea kettle or whatever and get boiling water in there, and put that in the Christmas tree stand first. I probably did a couple two tea kettles full of boiling water. Cause she's like, cause then that opens up all the sap. It like gets all the sap opened up or whatever, I guess at the bottom or, you know, if it started to get hard or whatever. And then fill it with your regular water. And I'm telling you, I told Joni, it's still drinking water. And it's January 28th today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I'm kind of down to every other day watering it.
Yeah.
When we first got it, of course, you have to water every day. It was drinking, but it's still drinking. And I'm like, okay. So there you go. That's your tip. I won't remember it next year. Well, I will. Like I said, I'll remember it when I do it next year. I'll try to remind y'all, but yeah, that's my tip. That's all I got. All right. Are you ready for your recipe?
I'm ready for my recipe.
Okay. We have been recording. I'm looking up at this thing again.
We are
this is the point
recording.
In our thing, guys, when we were like, I was like, oh,
she went,
no.
Joni. Yeah, it scared me.
I just felt sick.
So we are coming to the end of January and we are coming into February, which is Valentine's Day. So nothing says happy Valentine's Day to me like chocolate.
That's for sure.
All right. So here is a recipe for molten lava cakes. All right. Ready? You need 6 of your 1 ounce squares of bittersweet chocolate. Those
bittersweet or unsweetened?
Bittersweet.
The bittersweet. Okay.
The bittersweet. You could use, if you couldn't find it, you could use your unsweet and just
add a little more sugar or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now bakers, this is like, you're going to find that in your baking aisle, like in their bars is what they are. Mm-hmm. It's not like chocolate chips or anything
like
that.
They come in 1 ounce, like the squares are like 1 ounce each or something.
Yeah. Just read, if you can't figure out 1 ounce, you can look on the back and it'll show you exactly what 1 ounce is. So,
yep.
Okay. Then you need 2 1-ounce squares of semi-sweet chocolate. Mm. 10 tablespoons, which is a stick and a fourth of butter. Half a cup of all-purpose flour. I'm having a hard time speaking today. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 1.5 cups of powdered sugar. 3 large eggs. 3 egg yolks.
Oh.
A teaspoon of vanilla. Mm-hmm. And 2 tablespoons of Mariner.
Marinara?
No.
Marnier.
I don't know. Guys, whatever that is.
It's orange liqueur, right?
Orange, thank you. Yes.
But, I mean, if you can't understand us, Grand Marnier.
Oh, gosh. I would actually.
Idiots.
That would be good with amaretto, too.
Yeah, you could do. You sure could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to switch orange and that,
chocolate.
Too.
Orange and chocolate is my favorite.
It's good. Okay. Whipped cream or ice cream? Okay, so.
Whipped cream, like already whipped, not whipping, yes. Not heavy cream, but whipped cream?
Whipped cream.
Okay,
so take your heavy whipping cream.
Okay, you're going to top it with this. Okay.
Right. Okay, so preheat your oven to 425 degrees and then grease.
Well, that's hot.
You're going to do it hot. Right, and then 6 of your, 6 ounce custard cups or maybe ramekins, kind of thing, 6 of those. Mm-hmm. Melt your chocolate and your butter in the microwave, or you could do it over a double boiler too. For about a minute, just be careful with your chocolate. I would do it 30 seconds,
yes, stir it in the microwave, or it'll burn the middle.
Yep. Anyway, and even after your first 30 seconds, you may not think you've done anything. But I promise you, a lot of times if you do it for a minute, it's just going to burn.
Yeah, so you got to rearrange the chips.
Yeah. Okay. Then you're going to transfer your chocolate mixture to a large mixing bowl. Add your flour and your sugar to the chocolate mixture. Stir in the eggs and the egg yolks until the mixture's smooth. Then you're going to stir.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait, okay. Say that.
Okay. You've got your chocolate mixture.
Well, because what I'm concerned about, when that chocolate's hot, you don't want to cook those eggs.
You're not going to. So your flour's going to, yeah.
Dumbs it down enough. Yeah. Okay, I forgot.
And you're stirring your flour into it, it will cool. Yeah.
I zoned out for a minute and I thought.
Okay. Yeah. Add your flour and the sugar to the chocolate mixture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you're going to stir in your eggs and your egg yolks until it's smooth. So you're stirring. You've got the mixer going and you've got.
Right, all that air.
You've got air. Yeah, mm-hmm. Air's getting in.
No,
there.
I just couldn't. I didn't hear the flour part because I was thinking about JFK, and I just zoned out. Continue.
You're going to stir in your vanilla and whatever liqueur you want to put in there. Let's just go with that. Mm-hmm. How's that? Mm-hmm. divide your batter evenly among the custard cups and put the cups on the baking sheet. All right.
So oven-proof custard cups. Oven, don't put them in something that can't be cooked.
Yeah, right, right. And then you're going to bake them for 13 minutes, and your edges are going to be firm, but your center is still going to be runny in there.
Mm-hmm.
So run a knife around the edge, loosen it, convert it onto dessert plates. You can serve it with...
You turn it out over, it comes out of those?
Yeah, it comes out of those.
And you didn't grease it or anything? Did you grease those custard cups?
Yeah.
I didn't quit thinking
about JFK.
Now I was thinking about, you said hard on the outside, soft on the inside. And I was like, just like me. Okay.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So
I'm very distracted today.
Look, I would sift powdered sugar over it too. You know, just get a little powdered sugar over it, a little dusting mm-hmm. over that.
Mm-hmm.
You could put Valentine's, you could put strawberry or raspberry or, you know, something with it. And
I like the powdered sugar. I think that's so pretty with a couple raspberries and just the powdered sugar. That would be très magnifique.
There it is.
That's amazing. And that doesn't sound very hard. Again, I know I say this about all your recipes, but it doesn't. I think people think it's hard, but it's not hard.
No, look, this is what I tell all my students. If you can read, you can cook.
Yeah.
And there are things, and that's my favorite thing teaching culinary, is there are things that they think are so hard, like lasagna. They think lasagna is so hard to do.
Right, right.
And then I'm like, no, just read it. Let's read it. And when they finish it, they have just such an accomplishment. And
or something like this that's really like, it sounds very fancy. Like you get this in restaurants and stuff, you know, like the molten lava cake. It's kind of a fancy thing. And then you're like, oh, okay, I can do that. That's awesome. Right. That sounds great. Okay, are we ready for your top three?
Top three.
I'm ready. Okay.
Give it to us.
Well, dadgummit, I just forgot I thought, ooh, that's a good one, and I've forgotten it. Okay, I have, last week I talked about Dolly, you gave me Dolly Parton's Dolly's Dixie Fixins. So that is a great cookbook. She's got all kinds of stories, and it's really good. So I'm going to recommend that.
Okay, that's a good, that cookbook. I think, side note, I think she and her sister have another cookbook or something coming out. Dolly and her sister. I don't know. I've been seeing stuff on Instagram because I follow Dolly on Instagram. And anyway, I think she and her sister, maybe they're doing a show. No, I think it's a recipe book. I think it's a cookbook. Anyway, carry on. So there might be another one in your future.
Hey. All right. Well, and then I'm going to go with another recipe book here. I'm on recipe books.
Okay.
Paula Deen Celebrates.
Oh. Now,
y'all, I like, and especially in my classes, I like Paula Deen. It is, and in a small town, her recipes, you can find the stuff. I mean, there are things that you can look at some of Martha Stewart stuff and all that, and you're going, I can't find that in Harden County, Tennessee.
No.
Well, Paula Deen, you can find it no matter what. You can go to your local Walmart, and it's probably going to have the stuff. So it's really good,
solid, sort of Southern cooking, which is what your kids need to learn. I mean,
right. And so this, she breaks things down. She's got like all different holidays and
here is
one that like President's Day and she puts the menu there. So she's got oyster stuffed quail, Penny Smith sausage casserole, whipped cream grits, creamy cabbage, peanut butter ice cream,
whipped creamed grits. Okay.
You know, she's got Mardi Gras. I'm just kind of flipping through here.
She kind of goes through the year and takes all these different makes a menu. That's very fun.
And it's really, it's a fun
That's
one.
A fun format.
Okay. And then I have a blanket that is a chenille waffle throw.
Ooh.
And it's a very fluffy and very soft. I really like that waffle kind of
thing. I do too. Is it like how thick is it? Is it real thick or is it just kind of a thin?
No, it's kind of,
it's fluffy.
It's not real thick. Mm-hmm. It's not like a huge, you know, just a thick, thick thing. But it's not threadbare thin.
Gotcha.
You know, a lot of those, it's not like a gauzy thing. It's
Okay.
It's,
what color did you get?
Green, sage green.
Oh, that's beautiful. Okay. She'll link it, you guys, I assume.
I will. I will link that for you.
So you guys can get yourself a blankie if you need it.
That's right.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing. And thanks for coming back to talk to me after I screwed up and didn't record yesterday.
My pleasure.
You are a little perkier today. So maybe it was
perkier.
You had a crazy hair yesterday though, that I wish I could have posted the video of that because it was good.
Oh, yeah. Cause that today we had to cook for nothing. So I have my hair up today and a doink. So
it was down yesterday and had this little pebbles and bam, bam, like little sprout out the top. It was amazing. But today you're kind of calm. That's fine.
So,
all right. Anything else you need to say? Anything else people need to know?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. We did it. So
pretty good.
Yeah. I hope everyone has a great week. Hope you find the conspiracy theory of your dreams. Whatever it is that you like, make you a lava cake. Try some bras on and,
now we'll be here for the rest of the week sipping on tea. Hot tea and orange juice.
That's exactly right. That's right. Well, until next week, guys, goodbye, cornbread.
See, corn dip.
Okay.
Recording in progress. Y'all, that's a big deal.
I'm sorry. I don't think I'm going to make it.
Recording in progress.